I was asked to.
You had to put the slide on that said thanks for the last 13 years, man? You're killing me! Thanks for the last 13 years. God sure has done a whole bunch. Hasn't he? Hasn't God done so much? I was asked to try to talk about what the Lord has done. And it is impossible to measure. What has the Lord done through this dirty old warehouse? Besides scared some of us to death. Wow. I'm going to let a video in a second do the bulk of talking because I'm kind of a little bit of a mess in a good way, I think. I was trying in the middle of the night to think about what to say. And there's no measure of good that God has done in this place. And there is no measure of good God will do. We haven't seen anything yet. I'm convinced of that. But instead of going into bunches of personal stories, which would end me in a pile on the stage, which is not how we want that to go, I wanted to read out of Psalm 107. Because it applies to us, Psalm 107. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he's redeemed you from your enemy. For he's gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west and north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty, and they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They had rebelled against the word of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. So he broke them, and they fell, and no one was there to help. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. And he led them from darkness and deepest gloom. And he snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze, and he cut apart their bars of iron. Some were fools. They'd rebelled and suffered for their sin. They couldn't stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word, and he healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Let them exalt publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. He changes rivers into deserts and springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and the dry land into springs of water. And he brings the hungry to settle there to build their cities. And they sow their fields and they plant their vineyards and harvest their crops. How he blesses them. They raise large families and their blessing increases. He rescues the poor from trouble and increases their family. The godly will see these things and be glad, and the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all of this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Some of you guys were. I know most of you guys. So many of you guys were a big, hot mess when you came to this church. Still are. Yeah, you're right. Some of us were not saved and had heard about Christ for the first time in this church, in this building. Some of us had jacked up marriages, addictions. Some of us were just dirty rock stars that fell off of a dirty old bus and fell into this church. Some of you had no friends. Wandering in a desert land. And God brought you here. Where 13 years ago, we tried to do something a little different. And boy, did God show up. Did he show up indeed. My mom and dad, my dad died in 2000. And I think my Kim would know, or my wife, Paige would know. I think my mom died 4 years ago in August, I think. And we used to live in this house up in Sandy. And I miss my parents a lot. And so I find myself driving to this place in Sandy, this old, well, this beautiful, really, house that we grew up in. And I'll drive by it real slow, and all the neighbors think I'm crazy because there comes this guy that's like going up the street and does this thing, you know? And I look at my old house that I was raised in. And even sometimes I'll hop the fence and I'll walk in the backyard. That's not a good idea. I have had the cops called on me before, and that was fun. What are you doing? I'm out here praying. What are you doing? Praying. Let's get the breathalyzer. But you know what's weird is, you know what I crave when I go there? It's not the house. How stupid is that? I mean, I had tons of memories in that house. Played music in that house. Smoked my first cigarettes in that house. Had lots of good things, lots of bad things in that house, lots of stuff in that house. I was raised in that house. I cut my teeth on that house, learned how to play music in that house, learned everything almost that I know today in that house. But you know what I miss? My parents. Because it's not about the house. It's about the family. My dear church, please do not be deceived into driving by the old house and thinking it's done. I'll see my parents again. It's not done. I'll be with them again. I crave my relationship with them. church. God might be speaking to your hearts in lots of real, radical ways. Maybe to move some of you to different churches, maybe to move some of you even to different cities. From this moment in time, from this moment in history, God could be pulling you in that direction. And if that's the truth in your heart, I say, praise the Lord. Because God knows exactly what he's doing. But some of you here tonight are sad and scared. And we're thinking about the house. God's made us a family. He's pulled us from the desert, from gloom, from sin, and taught us how to love each other in this stupid warehouse. For those of you that will hear me, let's go together. Let's just go together. Let's go to a cleaner house. When we look at our history, we'll see the faithful love of the Lord. And the reason it's written is so we can be of courage as we move forward. So we're going to see a video, and then Bill's going to talk, and then we're going to eat some food. We're going to have 2 weeks off, and we're a family, and we're going to just move to a better house. A lot of you guys, just let me say this thing, depend on tracks to get here. You are welcome to come. Please come. Tracks goes right there, less than 2 minutes away. Come. You are welcome. You are welcome to come. All right, let's watch this video.
It's just, it's a lot to sum up with, like, I don't know. It's just a lot.
It's hard to pick one thing out of
however many
eight years.
9 years, 8 years.
Yeah.
When I first walked in, I was super nervous.
I had never really been into a Christian church, especially a Christian church that played rock and roll music.
What I felt the first time I walked through the doors of the church was that I was home.
I came here in January of 2004 for the first time. I walked in, I didn't know anyone.
When I came with my cousins for the first time, I just remember thinking, okay, there's music, there's coffee, maybe church is cool.
And I walked into the room with my dad, who had tricked me into coming to church that night.
We first came here back on February 28th, 2004. Met a whole bunch of people, and the very next following day, a couple of us went skiing.
My first impression of the Rock Church was a bunch of rock and roll guys tattooed, and everyone just very relaxed and hanging out. It just felt more like a big group of friends and a welcoming community.
I've always liked the idea that church was done in a warehouse here at this location, because it kind of crushed the idea of the stereotypical idea of church being a nice building and being dressed up. And
so it was really good for me to come here and just see that there were normal people, people like me, maybe people that were a little rough around the edges who really loved Jesus and still was headbanging, and he had long hair and was flipping around everywhere.
We first moved here in 2011 and we were looking for churches, and we came and it was an outdoor concert series, and we just, you know, we fell in love with the people. When we showed up, everyone said hi. They had a meaningful conversation about Jesus, about their community with us, and it was just the most loving church environment we'd ever experienced.
The thing that kept bringing me back to the church was probably the people, honestly, more than anything else.
One of the biggest things was the sense of community and how much everyone just loved one another and truly just exemplified what it is to be a Christian.
And the first person who came and introduced herself to me was Kristen Lavalette, 10 as we all know her. And that was nearly 13 years ago, and she's still my very, very best friend in the world. So I just think it's awesome that
the very first person that ever introduced herself to me is still just a lifelong relationship that will never change.
For what kept me coming back to the church was just the community feeling I got. I was instantly welcomed with open arms. People were very genuinely nice and caring and wanted to know more about me and where I came from and what brought me to the church. And
what kept me coming back to the Rock was people, was the love that I felt from them, the way that they opened their lives to me.
What kept me coming back to the church? Well, that's easy, the people.
I think the community of people kept us coming back to the Rock.
What kept me coming back to the church was definitely the people, the friendships that I had made.
I liked the idea of the music and of kind of a church that was not your typical church, where people had tattoos and could be themselves.
And I've met some of my best friends here, learned a lot about Jesus and about myself.
Without this community, I don't see that we would have had the marriage that we had or have been the parents that we are.
Met some of my best friends here. Amy and I, my wife and I, have had so much fun at this location, getting to know everybody.
Made a lot of friends, and that I'll be friends with for life, regardless of anything.
It was all about the people. That's where the God's family is. It's the people. It's not the building. It's not the location.
Over the course of the next 6 months or so, as I kept coming to the Rock and getting plugged in and getting closer with other people, God definitely chipped away at the hardness of my heart and became a believer shortly after that. But yeah,
I think the most memorable thing for me so far is being saved and taking communion at church in March 2009.
I grew up here, and so for me, getting saved, getting married.
Oh, by the way, we're married.
Dude.
God has changed my life. I met my husband here. I've had my babies here. This has been my home. And
he hasn't done just one thing. He's done a million things. He's given me purpose. He's grown my faith in many, many ways. He's given me a community of believers to run with, to serve him with, and to get to go and tell the world about him with.
It was amazing just to see how many people came to the Lord over the last few years, or last decade, I should say.
I've made a lot of mistakes. A lot of cool things have happened. I've met my wife, started my family, adopted my daughter, played a lot of worship music.
One thing that Jesus has done in our life, gosh, that's hard because he's done so much for us. I think just blessed us with a church family that raised our kids in a Christian, you know, God-loving home and family.
I really appreciate just the spirit of the evening. This is a celebration. And I just want to have you give Steele and Kim a round of applause for leading us in worship. I so resonated with what we've been worshiping, what we've been singing. You know, I'm sure Steele, I know he gave a lot of thought to this evening, and especially with the song choices, because, man, there was a theme there, and I hope you caught it. Is that, man, we'll do whatever God tells us to do. We're on this life of being a Christian. I've determined over the last 35 years that I've been a Christian is it's a journey. When you step out and say, God, I'll do whatever you want and really mean it, then there are some twists and there are some turns, but it's never boring. It's never boring. God just does what he wants to do, and we follow along, and we get blessed, and God blesses. And this is one of those turns that we didn't expect. It's not something we desired. It wasn't something we planned. It wasn't something that we just thought, hey, this would be cool. Let's do this. But, you know, God does things. He does things. And a couple observations real quick. Then I just wrote some thoughts, and I'm going to actually read some of these thoughts because it's just one half a page. And then we'll pray, and then we'll eat a bunch of good food. A couple observations is that, just so you know, I've been in this building longer than any of you, except for Paige Crosswhite. Where's Paige at? Are you here tonight, Paige? Yeah, Paige and I. Paige was on staff when I was a lone pastor. So it was Paige and I. We were the paid people on this staff all those years ago. And I tasked Paige. I said, Paige, how about we create a church that all your friends would like to come to? That was the mission vision statement. Paige and said, awesome, because Paige knew everybody in town, and she was building that church all by herself, bringing all you guys. Let's get a building. And we always wanted to plant a church. So we looked at a bunch of bad buildings, and it was like, man, we got to find something. And then she called me and said, come down to this building. So I met her right outside here, and we stepped in. And at the time, it was just this half right here, I think, and we were facing that way, just this little section. So we've been invested in this building. I've been invested in this building. Mac and I tore this wall out and put that beam up there so we could break that out. I've been a part of it longer than anybody except that woman right there. So I understand the investment and the time and that God does use places like this. He uses facilities, he uses buildings, and there will be memories just like Steele's house and Paige's house. Those are sweet. I drive by my house every time I go to Des Moines. There's something about it. So every time you go by this building on tracks, every time you drive by it, yeah, there'll be a little tinge, a little memories, and that's okay. That's normal. That's natural. That should happen. But here's one other observation. When we just watched videos of some dear, dear people speaking in their heart on what this church has meant to them, and not one person said anything. The word building was never mentioned. Did you even notice that? Now, again, I'm not diminishing the effect and the opportunities we've had in this building and in this city. But I want to tell you something, just like Steele said very, very clearly to all of us just a minute ago, church is not about a building. Everything that we've experienced, everything that people have talked about, relationships, the worship, the teachings, the music, getting to know people that have tattoos, you can do that in a different place. I hope you understand that. And we will, by the way. And we will. No, it won't be exactly the same. I get that. But I just want to encourage you with that, is that God does have plans. He does have plans. And we have had awesome memories here. I've had awesome memories here. I used to teach here every weekend for years. Again, it was facing this way most of the time. We flipped it around as we grew and grew and grew. A lot of good memories. I've led a lot of people to Christ in this building, as have many of you. God has provided opportunities in this building. And we say amen. And we have celebrated that. And we have talked about that. And we have together rejoiced as we should. And that's a good thing. And we get to have more rejoicing tonight as we kind of hang out and eat together and reminisce. And we should. Is that board still back there in that back room with all the memories? That's so good. And that video was so good. But I wrote some thoughts down that God gave me as I considered this time. And I want to just read them a little bit. Here's what I'd like to share with us. As we celebrate, as we're contemplating our next move, whatever that may be for you, here's what God has asked me to share with you with a smile and joy in my heart. It's time. All right? It's time. It's time to move on. Men and women, it's time to move on. God has blessed us here, and I can stand here with a heart full, I'm being very honest, speaking for myself, a heart full of anticipation and excitement about the next chapter that God has, because I don't believe God's done yet. You may think we leave a building, God's done. I don't happen to believe that for a minute. God is not limited by facilities. He never has been. He's not at this point. It's time, and I believe that God has good plans, that he wants to bless this church. I'm not sure if you believe that, but I'm telling you, I do, with all my heart. God has such good plans to bless this church. I believe and expect more fruit than we've ever dreamed of in the future. I believe that. I believe it's time to leave the past behind and move on. It's time to move on. It's time. Just like Moses told the Israelites, and Steele mentioned this as well, the cloud is moving. Like it, not like it, indifferent, it doesn't matter. The cloud is moving. I feel for some of those Israelites when they just got settled and they were loving their little spot in the desert with their tent and their kids were all settled. They knew where the kids were going to sleep and the goats were over here and they were all just settling in. And Moses says, nope, time to go. The cloud is moving. That must have been frustrating and hard for a lot of those guys. It's time. it's time to move on. The cloud is moving. Are you ready? I personally, I'm not sure where all you're at. I know it's hard for a lot of you. I'm excited personally. I'm excited. I'm more confident. I'm telling you from my heart, I'm more confident than ever that this is God's doing. That this is God's plan. That this is God's will for this church right now. I'm completely and absolutely confident of that. Whether you are or not, I am. It says in 2 Kings 19 that once more a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So I ask you, and ask you to consider, are we the remnant? Are you the remnant that's coming out of this wonderful facility that we've had for 13 years and all that we've experienced? Are you a remnant that's going to come out that God is plucking out of this old red warehouse? We're leaving this building, men and women. We are leaving this building, but we're not leaving our relationships. You don't have to leave your relationships. If you do that, that's your choice. I don't think it's a very good choice. I really don't. It's like Steele said, it'd be like Steele living in his house alone. That's not what he misses. That's not what you're going to miss. If God leads you, that's fine. But if you just leave it because we're not in this building anymore, I think that's a bad choice personally. We're leaving the building. We're not leaving relationships. We're leaving this building, but we're not abandoning our vision to reach the world one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. We're not abandoning that. We're leaving this building, but we're not going to allow Satan or sadness to douse our zeal for what God has for us. We're leaving this building, but we're not giving up our dream to win Utah and reach the world. We're giving up and we're leaving this building, but we're not pacifying our desire to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That's not changing. It's not changing. Even if we leave this building. I'm just sharing from my heart, men and women, I want to encourage you that I believe that with this move, we will be more effective. We'll be more encouraged. We'll be more capable to carry out the task that God has laid before us more than we ever have been before. I believe that. I really do. In 6 months, as we move to the Draper location, I have no doubt in my mind, even for those of you that are really sad and really challenged by this, that we're going to be giving each other high fives and saying, can you believe what God has done? In 6 months, that's going to happen. That's how confident I am that this is God's thing, and it's time. This is a God thing. This is what God's doing. This is God's plan. This is God's will. I want to encourage us. Let's move on with joy. Let's move on with confidence. Let's move on to the next chapter of exciting things that God has for us as a people of God. And finally, I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. I really do. It breaks my heart to think that some of you may not choose to come with us. And again, some of you, I have really prayed about it, and God has something different for you, and I bless that, and we do. We encourage you to do what God calls you to, but if you're not sure yet, I encourage you, could you be part of that remnant with us, come together with us, that's going to take root below and bear fruit like we've never imagined above? Could you be part of that remnant? I want you to be. We want to encourage you to be. We hope that you'll join us. And I know you're going to see what the zeal of the Lord can accomplish through his remnant, a people of faith, you. What can he accomplish through you and me as we go through this chapter together? Men and women, I believe it's time. It's time to move on. The cloud is moving. Are you ready? Are you ready to follow your King to the next chapter of what he has for us? Would you stand up? We're going to pray and then have some food. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to celebrate all that you've done. And we do acknowledge that, God, that you have done a ton. You have saved people here. You have changed lives here. You have brought friendships that we never dreamed. You fixed marriages and helped people through addictions. You've done amazing things that we can't even imagine. You brought people through these doors, and that very night they've gotten saved. You've brought new worship songs through Steele and others, and raised up bands and raised up pastors. We've seen it all here. But the point is, you did it all. It's not this building. It's not. You did it all. We acknowledge that right now, and we thank you for using this facility and this city and putting us here for a season. You did that, and we're so thankful, and we bless you. But God, we know it's not over. We know it's not done. We know you have good plans, and we rejoice in that. And I pray that you would give us that confidence, that excitement to believe that we have a God who's still at work. It doesn't end tonight. It's just going to get better. It's just going to get better. God, I believe it's time. I believe it's time for us to move on. The cloud's moving. We're with you. I'm with you. I'm going to follow you. I don't care what building it is. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you, and I thank you so much for all you're going to do. Help us move on with faith, with confidence, with joy. We bless you, and we thank you. And we thank you for all the food and fellowship we'll have tonight. Again, we commit our lives to you and this church to you and believe you have good plans for us. For it's in your good name, Jesus, that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you guys.